thanks, guys, for leading us before the throne. I really appreciate y'all using your gifts for God's glory. Yeah, if you do have a mallet, why don't we go ahead and take those up so you can just let them know. We'll have a few people coming around that can take those up. I know some have already turned them in. If you need one and you didn't get one, or you need a pen or pencil, let them know as well, and so they'll take those up. And if you have a Bible with you, we're going to be in the book of Colossians this morning. Next Sunday, we'll be back to Philippians. We were in Philippians before Christmas season, and we'll be back in chapter 4 of Philippians next week. But this morning, we're going to be looking at Colossians 4, 2 through 6. And before we do that, I'm going to lead us in prayer, so we'll take those up. But we want to be in prayer, obviously, for God's hand on our body, but just a lot of people are sick and dealing with really hard things, and so we're going to pray for that as well. We continue to pray for Russ and Deb and just healing over their bodies as they're getting over pneumonia, and then for Russ with his breathing, that God would give him breath and strength. We continue to pray for that need. We also pray for Teresa and just her body, and Jalene, and just healing for them. Teresa just getting over the stroke, and Jalene with a broken foot and ankle, and pneumonia as well. And so a lot of different things. And then we want to pray for Tana Springer this morning as well. You probably know Trisha's mom. She's not doing well, and so she's in the hospital. And so we want to pray for Tana this morning. And then I got a note from Susan Hall yesterday that she's not doing well. She had an infection, and it's just not responding to antibiotics, and so it's spreading, and they're worried that's spread to the kidney. And so I'm going to pray for Susan as well this morning, and I'm sure there are a lot of other needs in the body. And so I just want to, before we get into the God's Word this morning, just pray over them, and we know God can do all things, and he can really do anything he wants. And so we pray for his will, but also just his healing, and that he would take these tough situations that people are in and use them for his kingdom and use them for his glory. And so why don't we just pray now for our time in the Word and just God's presence and power. Lord, just bow our hearts this morning in dependence upon you. Prayer is this throwing up the white flag, saying we can't fix things, we don't have all the answers, we are people who need you. And God, we know every moment of every day we need you. And so we just come to you as an act of dependence upon you. We need you in so many ways. I pray that your hand would be on our body, and that you would continue to lead us and guide us as a church. And we pray for your hand on those physically who need you right now. I'll try to remember everyone, but God, you know the needs. Lord, we lift up Tana to you this morning and just pray for your hand on her body. We don't know what you have in store, but we just pray for your healing and your presence for her and her family. We pray for comfort for them as well. And Lord, we just pray for you to heal Susan as well. Lord, she said that this is something that is exercising her prayer muscles. And so we want to pray alongside her and exercise our prayer muscles, Lord. And just pray for you to stop the spread of this virus, this whatever is causing this, that needs your hand upon her. And so God, would you heal her body and bring her back very quickly to us? And just pray in the middle of this as she is just depend upon you, that you would meet her needs, and that you would comfort her, that you would be with her, and that you'd bring her back soon. Pray for your continued healing over Russ and Deb, and pray that you'd bring them back soon, and just get to the bottom of what's going on with Russ, Lord. We pray for Teresa, just continued strength for her and healing for her. We pray for Jalene, that you would help her foot and ankle to heal, and also clear her lungs, Lord, that she would feel better. God, we pray just for our time in your word this morning, that we wouldn't just go through the motions, Lord, and read your word, but God, that it would change us. God, your word has the truth that we need for life. And so, God, would you give us the life that we need through your word this morning? And, God, the areas of our life that need to change, God, would you do that life change work in us? God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would show us the truth. And, God, would your Holy Spirit work in us that truth? God, that you, pray that you'd give me the right words to share this morning, because I need you this morning. And we just give this to you, give this morning to you, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, awesome. All right, well, I'll just announce that right now. We had unanimous yeses for Ted and for Kevin, and so what we'll do at the end of service, because Kevin's heading out of town next Sunday, Kevin travels a lot for his work with MAF, as a missionary, but at the end of the service, we'll have them come down, and what we want to do is just pray over them. And so we know that for the work of serving and leading the church, we can't do it in our own strength. I know that for sure. So we want to, as a church, just pray for God and his hand over them as we continue to lead the church. So very exciting and just an awesome opportunity for a next step as a church to have them come alongside to help lead the church. But yeah, let's open up to Colossians this morning. And my challenge this year is to walk in wisdom, okay? Walk in wisdom. And it's something that I've been praying, God, what do we need as a church? And it's something that's just kept on coming back to me from God's word, just in my prayers. Other people have come, and it's been kind of confirmed over and over. And here's a confession. This is something I want to grow in, and I need to grow in personally. Like, this is an area that I need to grow in. And a lot of times you think of, like, walking in wisdom, there's a lot of ways you probably think, man, 2026, I need to be wiser this year. A lot of times we think, okay, I need to be wiser with my finances. I need to be wiser in relationships, maybe in my marriage, maybe with my kids, maybe with my friendships. I need to be wiser in the words that come out of my mouth. I need to be wiser not walking in foolishness into to pitfalls and all those different things that come along with that. Maybe I need to be wiser when it comes to work and my work ethic. You know, all these different areas that we a lot of times think of when it comes to wisdom, and I'm sure all those are true. For you, I know they're for me as well. But this morning in Colossians, Paul gives us one thing that I don't usually think of when it comes to walking in wisdom, okay? But I think it's so important, and I want us to walk this way as a church. And so this morning as we look at Colossians, he just lays it out. And maybe you have your copy of God's Word open. Look at chapter 4, and then we'll kind of go through the verses this morning. Let me get my Bible open to Colossians 4. But I want to just key in on one verse. It says, verse 5, look at that. It says, walk in wisdom. Okay, this is it. How can I walk in wisdom? He says, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Okay, so again, that's not usually what I think of when it says, like, walking wisely. And walking is this image, like, moment by moment, day by day, like this continual process of thinking and living out the truth that we know. Because that's really what wisdom is. It's applying the truth to the specific situations of our lives. And the specific way he says to do it is walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. And so kind of my challenge this morning is, and what we're going to see in this passage is we can walk in wisdom by using the opportunities that God sets in front of us, that God provides for us to bring his gospel, his good news to those who don't know him. And I want you to already start thinking about, like, who in my life doesn't know Jesus? You know, we sang about this amazing truth that God would send his son, that Jesus would come down from heaven. Why? Because we need to be brought back to God. We couldn't earn our salvation. This amazing truth that God has given us, that Jesus took our place on the cross. He paid the price, the penalty that we all owe, that we can be brought back into a relationship with God. Like, we've been given this amazing news, this free gift. And I want you to start praying, start thinking, like, who do I need to give this out to? Like, this most amazing gift, who in my life doesn't know? And so as we go through this, I just want to challenge us as a church. We can walk in wisdom by making the best use of every opportunity God brings into our path to bring his good news to those who don't know him. And so we're going to walk through verses 2 through 6 this morning, and Paul gives us just some really important truths here. But just, you know, we're just spending one Sunday in the book of Colossians. If you've never read through the book of Colossians, it's an awesome letter. Paul wrote to a church that he had planted, this Colossian church, and he gives them just some really important truths. It really comes down to, he points them to Christ, that Jesus is supreme. And chapter 1 is one of those amazing chapters where it's just like, this is who Jesus is. He points them to Christ. He points them to the gospel. There's been some false teaching that's tempting the believers to turn this way, turn that way, go after false teaching. He says, go back to Christ. You started with Christ. He's worthy of all. Keep going back to the gospel. Don't turn aside to anything else. And so chapter 1, I love it. He's like the creator, he's the sustainer, he's the focal point of all things. Make Christ most important in your life. Just in a couple of verses it says, by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together. Like, it's amazing. Like, everything comes from him, everything is through him, and it's all for him. Like, put Jesus first in all of your life. And then chapter 2, he challenges us to keep going back to Jesus. Keep the gospel first. And in verse 6 and 7, he says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And then he addresses this. He says in verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. And so he warns them, like, there's teachers that are saying, no, go this way, go that way. He's like, keep going back to Christ. Keep the gospel first and foremost, central. Chapter 3, he challenges us to keep our eyes fixed on heaven. It says, set your mind on heavenly things, not things on earth. And so keep heaven at the forefront of your mind as you seek to honor Christ. And then he gives us this illustration, like, put off the old self, put on the new self. And it's this process, day by day, in putting off this old self, putting on the new self. He applies it to different areas of our life in that chapter. And then chapter 4, he comes back to, like, the gospel. Preach the gospel. Keep the gospel first and central. And so as we come to these verses, he's going to address, like, keep going back to the gospel. But he's going to give us a few different ways that we can keep the gospel first and foremost in our lives. And I love it. Like, you'll see it. The very first thing he says is pray. Like, he says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. And before he gives us this challenge to walk in wisdom towards outside, he says, pray. Pray, like, continue to pray. Be steadfast in prayer. And like, at first, in verse 2, it's more just a general prayer. He's going to pray for a specific couple things. But, like, it's just that reminder. Pray. And I know I need that more because I don't pray enough. And I just want to ask you, like, are you steadfast in prayer? Do you continue in prayer? Are you watchful in prayer? Are you thankful in prayer? Like, before we get into it, like, he gives us two prayer requests. Like, just in general, it's that reminder over and over. We see it, like always pray. Like, it's this idea, like, prayer needs to be first in our day, in the middle of our day, throughout our day, at the end of the day. But I know, for me, I need this reminder, and here's the deal. Like, Scripture's clear on it. Like, we need to pray more. We need to pray about more. And if I'm not praying, and prayer isn't central in my day, it's not that Scripture's wrong, I'm wrong. And I want to just ask you, like, is prayer like that thing that's just like that constant in your day? Like he says that we should be continuous in prayer, right? Continue, but that we should be consistent also, be steadfast. Like is prayer one of those things that you start the day with, that you're praying throughout the day, and that you end the day with? And I'm not saying that, like, that's the only thing you do. Like, you say, sorry, I can't work today. Sorry, I can't eat today. Sorry, I can't hang out with you. Like, it's not, like, the only thing we're doing is praying. But, like, it's such a part of our day that it's just, like walking, right? Like, you don't think about, like, putting one foot in front of the other. You just do it. And so it's being intentional about it, but it's just making it a habit. Okay, and what I'm thinking and what I'm seeing here is like he starts with this. He's going to give us a couple prayer requests, and then he's going to tell us and challenge us to walk in wisdom. But he starts with prayer. It's not an accident because prayer is so important. Prayer really moves heaven. Like we pray because it does something. Notice he says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Like, why would I pray with thanksgiving? Like, he says to pray with thanksgiving, and I'm only going to pray with thanksgiving if I believe God's going to do something, right? Like, he's saying be thankful before you even get the answer because you know it does something. And I love how he connects it with that and being watchful. Being watchful is like staying awake, being ready, being alert. And I don't know about you, I don't always... keep watchful in my prayer life. And maybe I'm not like the disciples, you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus says, like, be watchful in prayer. He comes back and they've fallen asleep. Like, maybe you've done that. I've done that every once in a while. But usually I don't fall asleep in prayer. But sometimes I get kind of lulled to sleep because I forget that, like, this is actually doing something. And I want you to think, like, when you go before the throne, it's not just going through the motions. Like, be watchful in it. How? By being thankful. And so when I pray, I'm going to say, God, would you please do this? I'm going to thank you before you even answer it. Whatever way you answer it, I know you're going to do something. Whatever it is, I'm thankful for that. And so before I even get to what we're supposed to pray about, would you just pray with thanksgiving? Like, keep yourself alert and awake in prayer by knowing that it does something. James reminds us at the end of the book, he's like, the prayer of a righteous person accomplishes much. He gives us that illustration, like Elijah prayed, and what? It didn't rain for 3 years, right? He prayed again, and the heavens poured down rain. His illustration is to prove the point, like, when you pray and it's according to God's will, it moves heaven and it changes earth. So I don't just, like, remind you, like, yeah, pray, be consistent, be continual in your prayer, but pray knowing it does something. It's not a waste of 5 minutes in the morning before you get up and get going. It's not a waste if you dedicate an hour of your day. It's not a waste. Pray believing that you have something to thank God for in the praying. Okay, so let's be people who pray. But I love it. He gives us two things to pray for. And so the first thing we're going to pray for is pray for open doors. And the second thing we're going to pray for is for gospel clarity. Again, both of those things have to do with sharing the gospel. Okay, so look at verse 3. He says, at the same time, pray also for us. Now, Paul doesn't ask for prayer a lot. And so, like, Paul's saying, like, hey, guys, please pray for us. How should they pray for him? And he says, verse 3, at the same time, pray for us that God may open to us a door to the word, a door for the word. I love that he uses this illustration, and you've probably heard it before, like, pray that God would open a door for the word. And it's a great picture because, like, Paul's been faithful to God. Since God changed his life, he's tried to share it with everybody. He goes to town, sharing it with the Jews first. He has a heart for the Jews.
But when they won't hear, he goes to everybody. He goes to the Gentiles. He goes to every section that he can of the town and just shares the gospel. But he knows that just sharing isn't going to do anything if a door isn't opened. And so I love this picture. Think about like just a physical door between you and somebody else, right? And so you go and kind of knock on the door. And sometimes we do this, you know, you go to a neighborhood and maybe you go to a friend's house and knock on the door. And if they don't answer, it's going to be hard to hang out with them, isn't it? Right? You can knock on a door, but unless they open that door, you're not going to have much time and chance to really talk to them. You're not going to be able to hang out with them. And thinking about with this gospel message, Paul's thinking about, like, I want to share the gospel with this person. I want to share with this person. He writes from prison, and we know he's been faithful in sharing those truths with those people he's in prison with. And he knows that unless God opens a door, it's not going to do anything. The people outside the faith are often described as, he says, outsiders here. But also it says they're lost and they're blind, right? We need to know, like, unless God moves, it's not going to make sense. And you've seen that probably in someone you've tried to share the gospel with, right? It doesn't happen to always come down to intellect or understanding. Like, they could tell you the gospel right back to you, but it just doesn't click. Like, you don't see this light bulb moment until God opens the door. I love how he describes it. He says that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ. Like, the gospel is really a mystery. And if you think about like a mystery novel or maybe a mystery movie, I love mysteries, especially those ones where it just doesn't make sense. You get a clue here, you get a clue here, you get a clue here. But this, when it all comes together at the end, like this light bulb just goes off, and it's amazing when the mystery is revealed, right? I love Christopher Nolan movies because he puts all these little Easter eggs in there. He puts all these different things, and then when it, boom, happens, it's like, man, I didn't see that coming, but that's awesome, right? And that's what Paul describes it. Like, it's this mystery, but all the things, when they come together and God opens the door, this boom, light bulb goes off. And I've had that happen before. I'm sure you've had it. Like, you share the gospel with somebody, and they're like, yeah, I see what you're saying, but it just doesn't make sense. Why do I need this? And you share it with them again, and like, okay. And maybe the third time, they actually could share it back with you, but they're like, why do I need this? And then something happens in their life where finally the light bulb goes on. The mystery is revealed. The door is open. And they see the truth for what it is. The mystery becomes the gospel revealed. And so Paul prays, God, would you please open doors? He asks his church, God, would you please open doors for the gospel? And so I want to just first challenge you, like, let's pray for open doors as a church. I want you to start praying, like, maybe the start of your day, God, would you open doors for me today? God, would you please open a door for the gospel for me today? Would you, like, start tomorrow that way? And so what I think that looks like a lot of times with these open doors, sometimes God's going to open a door right in front of you that you didn't see coming, right? Sometimes those open doors are a phone call from a friend right in the middle of the day. And that's really, like, for me, that's one of my biggest problems. Like, when I've been praying for somebody and an open opportunity comes, I'm like, yeah, let's walk through that. But when I'm in the middle of the day and I want to go do this, and then God throws a curveball, and he said, no, you need to go there. And the open door is way over there. That's when I have the problem. And so if we're really praying that, if I'm really praying, God, would you open a door? It's probably going to interrupt my day. Okay? Some of those open doors are going to be where you least expected it and at a time you least expected it. And we'll talk about it in a middle, but in a minute, but we're going to need to keep our eyes open. We're going to be needing to look for those open doors. We're going to need to be attentive to the Spirit's leading us through those open doors. But if you're going to pray, God's probably going to interrupt your day. And so when you get that phone call from a friend you haven't talked to in 3 years, out of the blue, pick it up. And before you pick it up, pray, God, I don't know why she's calling, but would you please open a door right here for the gospel? And we don't know what he's going to do, but we want to be attentive to God changing our day with his plans. Those doors that he says, hey, I want you to change your day and walk through that door. Something else I think that God's going to do is he's going to lay on your heart doors that you know are closed. And what Paul says, he knows there's a door closed. He wouldn't ask God to open if it was already wide open. And so Paul, I think, already has in mind different doors that he wants prayer for. And there's doors that we know are closed. And sometimes it's like we know that we share the gospel, and maybe it's your sister. And you share the gospel with her three times, and every day time you do it, her eyes just glaze over. And you know the door's not open, right? But maybe you could start praying, God, would you open up a door for the gospel? Not forcing yourself through a closed door, but being sensitive, being willing, and just praying, God, would you open a door for the gospel? Maybe it's like a sister. Maybe it's another family member, a mom or a dad. Maybe it's a son or a daughter. Maybe it's a friend. And I want you to think, like, who in my life do I know is just a closed door right now? But God's been laying them on my heart, and they keep getting laid on my heart. I think the Spirit lays these people on our hearts for a reason. They're closed doors that we know God needs to open. And so we're not going to try to just force the door open, but we're going to pray that God would bring them to a place that the door would be opened for the gospel. And we know that happens. You've had it happen, I'm sure I've had it happen, where like just over and over this door is just solidly closed, and then something happens in their lives. Like they have a crisis, something comes up where they just are face-to-face just met with this reality that there is a God that they're accountable to. Maybe it's like a near-death experience. Something happens where somehow they are just open to the gospel, and things are different. And then you've been praying and you've been faithful, and now you have that opportunity. I just want to challenge you, like, would you be willing to write down a name? Write down maybe two or three names. Like, that would be awesome if you could write, like, three names down today that you know are closed doors, but you know God has laid them on your heart. And this year, as you're praying for open doors, yeah, every day say, God, would you just open a door? Maybe it's a door I never thought would be in my day. But God, would you open those doors that I know have been closed? They've been closed for months. They've been maybe even closed for years. But I'm going to pray. I'm going to keep on praying for you to open that door. And so each day you can wake up and say, God, would you open this gospel door that's been closed? Let's pray for open doors for the gospel. Next thing he prays for is that he would be able to share the mystery in such a way that it's clear. Right? He says in verse 4, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Like, it's such an important message. Like he said the previous verse, on account of which I'm in prison. Like, think about that. Like, what news is worth going to prison for? Like, how many things in life are worth going to jail for? But like, Paul is so sold to this gospel. He is so passionate about this gospel. This gospel is so important. He's like, this is why I'm in prison. This news is worth going to jail for. And this is what I want to do. I want to pray. Notice he doesn't say, pray that I get released from prison. Like, just honestly, that's probably what I would pray for. But Paul knows how important this message is. Instead of saying, man, pray that I get out of prison, pray that I make this gospel clear. He says, pray that God would open a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ on which I'm in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Like, he prays, guys, would you please join me and praying that I would say the right words, that I would make the gospel, this mystery, so clear that God would open this door and that people would be transformed from darkness to light, from death to life. Would you pray this year that God would open doors for the gospel, but also that you would have the right words to share. In fact, I know for me, and maybe this is for you, something that often keeps me from sharing the gospel is just this fear of not having the right words to say. Like, you know, like, this door is open, it's wide open, and you're like, I don't know if I should go through it. Like, how awesome is it that you know there's this open door, but often what keeps me from going through it is like, I don't know what I should say, or what I shouldn't say. What if they ask a question that I don't know the answer to? And so I love how Paul just asked them, hey, pray for my words. And that really reminds us that we need God just in sharing the gospel. Because here's the at the end of the day, it's not your magical words that it's going to save somebody. It's God using you, empowering you, his spirit working through you to say the words that he wants to say, even fumbled and messed up as they are coming out of our mouth, that it would come through his power to reach their lives. And in fact, we see this, like, he gave that mission to the church, right? In Matthew 28, 19 and 20 says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of Christ, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you even to the very end of the age. Like, he gave that mission, but I love how he, in Acts 1:8, repeats that mission, but in, like, these very last words, he reminds them, guys, you're not going to do it in your own strength. Guy, you're not going to transform the world by just being awesome. You need power to do this mission, and it's not your power. But guess what? It's the greatest power of all. And so I love in Acts 1:8, right before Jesus goes up, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And in the book of Acts, that's exactly what we see happen. Like, this group that's in hiding in the first chapter, when they go into Jerusalem and at the day of Pentecost receive the Holy Spirit, that same chapter, Peter just gets up and preaches a sermon. Like, he just preaches this amazing sermon. It goes from, like, front to the back of the Old Testament. And guess what? People get saved. This huge crowd places their faith in Christ. Why is it because Peter's so awesome? No, Peter was scared before this. It's because he was given the Holy Spirit, and his power came through the Holy Spirit. And so I think it's so important for us to know, why do we pray? We pray for the right words because we know that we don't have the right words, that we can't do it. So we pray depending on God to just even give us the right words to share. And so, like, when you see those open doors, when you know that there's an open door, just throw up a popcorn prayer and say, God, I don't know what to say, but I know I need you. And I know that your spirit is in me, and greater is he who's in me than he who is in the world. So God, would you speak through me? Would your spirit just move in such a way that I share your words of truth, your gospel, your mystery, and please make it clear. Like, he wants it to be clear because he doesn't want to cloud and muddy it up. He wants it to be as crystal clear as it can be. And I love Mark 13:11 when Jesus reminds us. It says, when they bring you to trial, deliver you over, don't be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given to you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And we need to speak in such a way that we're dependent on him. We need to pray in such a way as like, God, I don't know what to say, but you got to work here because you're the only one who can make this mystery clear. And so Paul asks them and begs them, pray that I can make the gospel clear. That's how I ought to speak. You know, there's part of that that means being ready, right? It doesn't mean like just don't ever try to be ready. In fact, 1 Peter 3:15 reminds us, and I love this verse. It says, in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Okay, so there's some preparation that should be happening on the front end. So it's not you just like never ever being prepared to make a defense for a reason for the hope that's in you. And so this year, maybe you don't even know, like, I have no idea what to share if someone says and comes up to me and says, like, what do I do to be saved? Like, if someone asked you that today, what would you say? And so I think a lot of times we're not ready to share because we're not ready, right? He says to be prepared. So part of it is being prepared. And so this year, part of that process is going to be, we're going to have a couple different workshops. One of them is like, what is the gospel? What's the gospel? How do you clearly share the gospel? And so I want to train you and just show you it's simple. It's something that even a young person can know. It's not this great mystery that can't be known. It's simple. We have to come to God with faith of, like a child. And so the gospel is simple. And we need to understand that we can share it in a clear way. It's not this great mystery that we can't know and can't share. And so one thing we're going to look at is how to share the gospel. And so someone comes up to you in just simple two or three sentences, you could share, this is the truth. Or if God gives you 5 minutes, you could share that truth. Or if God gives you an hour, you could share that truth. Another training we're going to do is, what is my testimony? You know, we sang it really shortly before. It's like, what has God done for me? You know, it's simple. Like, if someone comes and say, hey, I know you're a Christian, what has God done for you? Like, what's God done in your life? And so I want to train you, like, just to share a simple gospel presentation and also a simple testimony. We each have a story to share, and that's often the most powerful way we can share our faith is what has God done for us. And then we'll hopefully, Lord willing, to have another training on specific things. Okay, if someone comes to you, here are some simple different defenses of the gospel. Maybe someone who's an atheist, maybe someone with a different faith, and we'll do a training there. But that's my hope and prayer, is to get us ready. And so if we're already ready, then when the moment comes up, God, you got to speak. God, give me the words to share, because I need you. So the first challenge we see here is pray. Be constant in prayer. Be continual in prayer. And this year, let's pray for two things. Pray for open doors for the gospel, and let's pray for the right words. When God does open the door, that we would declare the mystery of Christ in a clear way. So after he prays for that, then we come into verse 5. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. And so the second truth I think we see here is, like, make the most of every opportunity. In fact, what he says is walk in wisdom, and then this is how we do it, by making the best use of the time. I love that description, and I picked out the main point from the NASB wording, and I think that's a good way of describing it. Make the most of every opportunity. Because here's the deal, like, we've been praying, God, please open doors, please give me the words to share. Like, if I'm praying that with thanksgiving, expecting him to actually open some doors, then I need to be on the lookout, right? And I love that it says, like, make the most of every opportunity. And literally it means redeem the time. And the picture there is, like, these are these moments, these opportunities right in front of us. They're all around us, but are we on the lookout for them? So when we're walking through our day, there are people outside that need to know Christ. And he describes them as outsiders. And really what they are is they're outside of this celebration of the truth. Remember last week I talked about it. It's like the great marriage supper of the Lamb. Like, we're celebrating this relationship with God. And so they're on the outside of that, right? There's some people that don't know that God loves them, that God would forgive them, that their sin doesn't have to separate them from him. But they're still outside. They still don't know, or they still haven't accepted that truth. They haven't been welcomed into the party. And so he says, guys, look around. There's outsiders. Walk in wisdom towards them by making the most out of every opportunity. And so what opportunities is God going to bring up this year in your life? Like, really be ready for them. Oftentimes, I think the problem isn't the open door. At least for me, sometimes it's looking back and saying, like, man, God opened that door, but I didn't look for it. I wasn't ready for it. I didn't see it until it was too late. And so just walking through my day, asking God, God, what doors need to be opened? But what doors have you already opened that I need to make the best use of? I remember a memory as a kid. My mom graduated from Texas Tech, okay? So I grew up as a Longhorn fan in Austin, but she graduated from Texas Tech. So as kids, we went out to watch a Texas Tech game. And at the end of the game, they do all sorts of weird things as Texas Tech fans. They throw tortillas on the field, but I think they changed that this year. But we watched the game, and so I think they lost. They weren't very good back then. But at the end of the game, I just remember this vivid memory. Like, everyone's getting up to leave the game, but they left behind all these different cups, okay? And so, like, as a kid, I'm like, guys, why would you leave these cups behind? And so, like, there are hundreds of these plastic cups left behind. And so me and my brothers, we just took off, and we started picking up all these cups. And I remember just having, like, 50 cups and say, Dad, look, you got to take all these home with me. And he's like, you can take some of them home. We're not taking 50. Why don't you take home 10? And the thing that I remembered was, like, these just looked awesome. And I was this, you know, poor little kid, and a plastic cup was like a treasure. I just thought it was so cool. And all these people were leaving them behind. So we were dumping out, you know, drinks, dumping out beer, stacking all these cups up, wanting to take them home. And so the point is here, and maybe the cups weren't the treasure that I thought they were. But what's going through our day and going through our life, there's opportunities all over the place. And what I wanted to do in that moment, I wanted to redeem all these opportunities, like make best use of those opportunities. I gathered them all up. In my day and in your day, there are opportunities for the gospel. There's so many outsiders. Maybe they're at your work. Maybe they're inside your home. Maybe they're in your family. Maybe it's even an enemy. There's opportunities, and God's opening doors. We're praying for that. But would we be open to this door, to walk through it and actually share the gospel? Or would we pass by and miss out on that opportunity? I love Jesus in John 4. He had an opportunity to share the gospel with a Samaritan woman at a well. And his disciples, they don't get it. Like, they went off to get food, and he's like, guys, you don't get it. It's not about food. There's bigger things than food. He says, don't you say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes. See the fields that are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages, gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. I love that. Jesus, like, saw this opportunity. His disciples completely missed it. This woman that needed to hear the words of life. In fact, God uses her to send her back to a whole village that would hear words of life. There were fields that were white for harvest. And so I just want to challenge us. We can walk in wisdom by making the most of every opportunity. This year, I just challenge you, look, lift up your eyes, see the fields that are white for harvest. So make the most of every opportunity this year. Look for the opportunities, the doors that God is going to open for the gospel. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. And so look for those open doors and then be faithful to walk through the door. Trust in God that, man, I'm not going to do it in my own strength. It's scary. It's going to take faith, but I'm going to obey and I'm going to walk forward through that open door. And then one more thing, and then maybe this is one that's been missing. Maybe you've been faithful in praying. Maybe you've been faithful in walking through open doors. But maybe your speech hasn't been seasoned with grace. I love, like, he says, to look for these open doors. He says, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. But then this comes here. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Again, we need to know how to answer each person, but key to our answer, key to our speech, is grace. I love that. Like, and it's so, like, ironic, because I think a lot of times we share the gospel and we do it in such a way that it never communicates grace. Like, think about it. Like, this good news that we have to share, it's all about grace. That God would give us this free gift that none of us deserve. But then my speech doesn't speak grace. In fact, these chances I've had to talk to that person, maybe at work, maybe at school, they never hear grace come out of my mouth. So when I do talk about grace, it doesn't mix well, right? Sometimes the speech beforehand and the speech after is going to say, man, you don't want that message they have to share. Because all they ever talk about is judgment. All they ever talk about is how righteous they are. All they ever do is complain about this or that. All they ever do is anything but give out grace. So I just want to challenge you, like, maybe you're excited, and I hope you are, to share the gospel at work tomorrow. But, like, what have you been speaking this past year? And I'm not talking about just with the gospel, but maybe just in general, like, in your conversations, have they been seasoned with grace? In fact, I love that description. He says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt. In the Bible, there's a few different uses of salt, but he pairs it with a word here for, like, seasoning food, okay? And we know that that's such a powerful picture, because when you season food with salt, it does something, right? You can have something that's just kind of bland, but when you season it right with salt, not too much but not too little, what it does is it brings out the natural flavors of that food, but then it enhances them, right? And it makes you want more of it. And I think it's so true, when grace is just flowing through our speech, it seasons every word that we speak with such an amazing flavor that they want more of it. That it brings the truth of it. And when we finally get to the gospel of grace, they've whetted their appetites for grace so much that they want the grace of God. And so I just want to challenge you. Yeah, look for these open doors. Pray for these open doors. Go through the open doors. Look for them. But make sure your speech is consistent with this gospel you have to share. And so in how you speak the gospel, may it be seasoned with grace. But just your regular, everyday conversation, make it seasoned with grace. Make our words reflect the gospel we have to share. How often is it the opposite? We season it with everything else. And you know, food seasoned with the wrong seasoning can make you, oh, I don't want anything that they have to offer. Same thing with our gospel. We have this gospel, this great news to share, but maybe this year that I've been speaking has made it to where they don't want anything to do with what I have to say. So let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So I want to challenge you. How do you need to rethink your speech? Looking back at this year, looking forward to this next year, like, what's your speech been like? Is it consistent? Is it speak grace to those who need this gospel of grace? And then maybe even before that, with your speech, what heart problem does that speech problem come from? Because really, what we speak really flows out of our hearts, right? Jesus says it in Luke 6:45, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. The evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So maybe you have a speech problem and grace isn't part of your speech. So what heart problem needs to change before you change that speech problem. That's going to help change that speech problem. At the end of each day, just challenge yourself. Think back. How is my speech? What speech do I regret? And what heart problem produced that speech problem? Work on your heart problem, especially when it comes to grace, so that our grace would flow out of our speech. And they'd want to know the grace of God that we have to share with them. So Gospel Life, I just want to challenge us this year. Would you do these three things and make them consistent this year in your life? Pray for open doors and pray for clear words. So let's be a praying church this year. And let's be a looking church. Look for opportunities to share the gospel. That we would make best use of the time God's given us. Make the most of every opportunity. So look. So let's be on the lookout as a church. And then to walk through and choose to speak words of grace. Let's choose to speak words of grace. Let's pray. God, your gospel is worth sharing. It's the message that every single person needs. So God, I pray that you'd lay on our hearts outsiders, those who are outside of this good news, that haven't received this good news. Maybe they're going to be strangers in our day. Maybe they're going to be people that we know and have loved and have been praying for weeks, months, and years. God, would you please open up doors for the gospel? Would you please give us clear words to speak the mystery in such a way that they would be led to know you? God, would you give us eyes to see the opportunities beforehand so that we could walk through these doors? And God, would you give us words of grace? Change our speech, but also change our hearts, that grace would come out and season our speech. Can't do this on our own. God, we need you. And so, God, would you use us this year to bring your good news to those who don't know you. In Jesus' name, amen.